Growing the Game with Ballsy. He's brought to you by Pizza Hut in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigree, durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at rivièreagseeds.ca. This is Growing the Game with Ballsy, a podcast dedicated to growing the sport of football in Saskatchewan. Now, here's Ballsy.
All right, Darian Durant joining us for the doubles take. And Darian, first off, your thoughts on the hit by Simone Lawrence on Zach Collaros?
You know what, I agree with pretty much everyone else on it being a dirty hit. But what I do understand from Simone's standpoint is that it's so hard when you're running full speed and the game is such a high impact game. It's so hard to let up in situations like that. And I know Zach, you know, he was going into his slide at the time. And to me, it looked like Simone kind of pulled up and, you know, didn't go forward with his forearm or his shoulder. You know, he just kind of hit him with his head a little bit, which is still a dirty play. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, at such high speeds, it's hard, man. It's so hard to let up and it's so hard to just take yourself out of harm's way sometimes. And, it's just unfortunate that it happened that way.
Is two games enough for a suspension, do you think, in order to, you know, promote player safety, so to speak?
Yeah, I think it's more than enough. It's one of the harsher penalties I've seen in the CFL. I think he gets the drift. I think he's getting a lot of backlash from not only some players across the league, but the fans across the league have, you know, been all over him on social media for that hit. So I think he learned his lesson. I think guys have learned their lessons for sure. I do think it'll make it tough for defenders to play against guys, running style quarterbacks like Pipkin in Montreal or Dom Davis in Ottawa, guys who probably won't slide as quickly as Zach maybe would or Bo or somebody like that. So it's going to be difficult for defenders, but I think guys have learned their lessons for sure.
All right, Darian, I got to address the elephant in the room because people are talking about it. It's either Kevin Glenn or Darian Durant. We know Glenn was approached, and apparently they're not close on money. Has Darian Durant been phoned yet?
No, nothing as of yet. I'm happy where I am, and if the call does come, I'll entertain it, and I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, but I do got to ask you because the next question I get, then we'll drop it after this. Is Darian Durant in pretty good shape?
I am. If I had to go, I definitely could, for sure.
Okay, we're going to leave it at that because if I follow up and ask any other questions, then it looks like a guy's lobbying for a job instead of being an analyst. If something changes, I'm sure we'll be the first to know. So let's go through your eyes here on the quarterbacking situation that the Riders have in front of them. A lot of fans are really excited. Isaac Harker comes off the bench and goes 5 for 5 and looks like a dynamite football player. And no disrespect, kid made some good decisions. Looks like he's got a good arm. But that's when a defensive coordinator doesn't have any film on the guy. Do you agree with that?
Oh, no question. I mean, I was a guy in that situation as well that could come in and made a lot of plays early on. And you know, while defensive coordinators are being very conservative, they don't know how a guy is going to attack you, especially when you have no film on him. So, but I did like what I see from his arm strength and his ability to come in and just have confidence in making throws across the middle. It's so hard for young quarterbacks coming into this game to be able to make throws in the middle of the field, especially against a good defense coordinator like Orlando Steinauer. So, big ups to Isaac. I hope he can continue to grow and improve. I'm all for young quarterbacks coming in and having success. And it looks like he's off to a good start.
Is it dangerous, though, to rush a guy? I know the situation dictates rushing him, but is it dangerous to rush a guy too fast to rattle his confidence?
You know what? You just never know. I mean, you look at Strievler in Winnipeg last year, and him coming in, having to start the beginning of the season. And that allowed Winnipeg to find out that they had a guy that they can move forward with and potentially be a starter down the road. So you just never know. Some guys have it and some guys don't. And I think the only way to find that out is to get them in high-pressure situations and see how, you know, they accept the pressure coming from other teams. So, with another road game this week, we'll definitely be able to see if there's some improvement and if there's a guy that you can look towards the future with.
What did you make of Cody Fajardo? I was he's going into his fifth year. He's played behind the likes of Travis Lule and Ricky Ray. I was kind of disappointed, to be honest with you. He's a good kid, but, you know, I expected Isaac Harker to look like Cody Fajardo and the other way around. But I was disappointed, Darian.
I mean, I could kind of see where you're coming from. But at the same time, I mean, you have to really think about what Cody is and what he's been. And, he whenever he would get in for other teams, he didn't just blow you away. He was a guy that came in and he's steady, and he's a guy that he won't mess up the game for you. I don't think that he can go in and come from behind and do things like that, but he's a guy that can come in and he won't lose you the game. So my expectations for Cody weren't that high because I've had a couple years to see him in action and see what he could do. But I do think that he's a quality backup and he can help your team. But I just don't see him, and this is no disrespect to him. It's just my opinion. But I just don't see him as a guy that, you know, could come in and win you a bunch of games if you need it.
Okay, so take us in the locker room for a second and the mindset of the guys in that locker room. Okay, I'd hate to be a defensive player on this team the last 2 years. Yeah, you had 11 touchdowns last year, and you start this year, and the guy gets hurt, and now it's almost like what happened to you in 2015 with your Achilles. So when you walk into that locker room here, how do you sell it to the guys like Charleston Hughes and Micah Johnson, who signed here as a free agent, William Powell, Naaman Roosevelt, Ed Gainey? How do you sell it to them? We're going with two young guys. You know, it's almost like the mentality is, well, we're just going to go with these young guys and see if we can do it. We're one game in here. Yeah. To me, I'm like, I've been the guy lobbying, bring Durant in, bring Glenn in. I think it's too early to soil the season.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. I mean, I definitely understand, especially veteran guys who've been in the league like Charleston Hughes and Micah Johnson, you know, and the situation they came from in Calgary where, you know, it was a plug-and-play situation. And of course, the one steady thing over there was Bo Levi Mitchell. But when you've been on the team for a long time with a consistent quarterback, and now you have to go to the unknown territory of not knowing who your quarterback is going to be. Is it a young guy? Can we rely on him to score points? What type of defense do we have to be? It's very frustrating for those guys. I mean, it's tough as a defense when you go into a game each and every week feeling like you have to score in order to win. So, I'm with you. I thought having a veteran presence, whether it's myself, whether it's KG coming in, I think that'd be great for the young guy to learn, and it'll be a boost to that defense to know that you have a veteran quarterback that can put the ball in the end zone and move the ball down the field. So it's tough on those defenders, and, each and every week they're going to have to make a big play for their team to win.
So if you're Dickinson and McAdoo, how do you approach this game? It looks like they're going to switch the two guys off, see who's playing the best, and that's the guy that's going to get the ball the rest of the way. But offensively, how hard is it to get into sync, and what kind of offense can you go use against the Noel Thorpe Ottawa run defense here?
It's going to be tough, and there's not a tougher defensive coordinator to go against, in my opinion, than Noel Thorpe. He's a guy that can, you know, you see what he does to Bo Levi each and every week. I really think he's Bo Levi's toughest defense to go against. He makes Bo struggle each and every week. But, I don't like me being involved in a two-quarterback system when I switched with Steven Giles back in 2009. It's so tough to get into a rhythm. It's so tough for your offensive linemen because they're used to a quarterback being in a certain spot. One's more of a runner. One's more of a pocket guy. It's just tough. It's tough on receivers because you have two different kind of fastballs coming at you, one with a little more zip and one with a little more finesse. It's just not an easy situation. But, you know, as a coach, as a GM, you have to see what you have in your quarterbacks. And unfortunately, you have to do it on the fly at the beginning of the season in a very crucial road game. So you know, we'll see what happens. It's just a tough situation.
Quick comment on the Ottawa side before we let you go. They come up with a big victory on the road in Calgary, and they did it with their quarterback throwing four interceptions. You know, you look at the stats, you say four interceptions, but actually I watched that game. Davis did make some good throws. What are your thoughts on Dominic Davis?
I think he's a guy, a big arm guy that can move around a little bit, but he has a lot of potential. He sat behind some guys. He sat and learned the CFL game. He's waited on his opportunity. And in my opinion, those are the quarterbacks who have the most success, the guys who can sit in different systems, sit behind good quarterbacks, and see how they operate. He did a good job considering the turnovers that he had. He did play solid football, but like I mentioned earlier, when you have a defensive coordinator like Noah Thorpe, you'll never be out of the game. He can make things happen. I think he's one of the best in the league, honestly. And, you know, whenever you have a defensive coordinator like that and the talent that they have defensively, they're going to make some big plays. They're going to get the ball back. And that allowed Ottawa to stay in the game and ultimately win that game in the fourth quarter.
Well, we're happy we signed this guy to our broadcast team. That's Darian Durant with a doubles take. Thanks for this, doubles.
No problem. Thanks again.
Time to head out in the Mr. Lube hotline once again and speak with Morgan Bunce. He is the head coach of the Regina Riot. Now, Morgan, I know your background, but for those just new to you as the head coach of the Regina Riot in your first year, give us a bit about your football background.
Sure. So I've been I played a lot in Saskatchewan. I played for the Rams, and then I moved on from my career there to coaching with the Thunder for about a decade. And after that, took a slight different direction and started coaching with the Riot, and this is my fifth year.
Okay, so what made you want to coach with the Riot?
Some family choices were in there, certainly. A slightly smaller season, but one of the big things is I felt that there's a great opportunity to leverage some of my coaching expertise and bring it to an up-and-coming program. So that was one of the major drivers.
Now, you're a head coach of the Regina Riot. What's that like, being in charge of all these fine young female athletes?
It's very similar to being in charge of young male athletes. There's still lots to do, lots of hurdles to overcome, and lots of challenges. So there's a lot of similarities, and there's the odd difference.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, is there a main difference, besides obviously genetics, is there a main difference between coaching female football players and male football players?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's different tactics that work on different types of athletes. I think coaching female athletes, you need to take a slightly different approach than you do with male athletes, but fundamentals are the same. Football is football, but just how you get the message across needs to be tailored a little bit.
I guess this would be a compliment to female football, because I've talked to other guys that say, hey, you know what? Now I don't even think of them as being female football players. They're just football players. Is that how you see it?
Absolutely. Yeah, once you're embedded and you're doing football stuff, you don't look at gender. You're coaching football, and you're saying the same thing that you'd be saying to any athlete. If they're dropping the ball, you're coaching them up to do the right thing after that. And every other aspect, gender's kind of out of it once you start looking at it. It's just a sport.
Morgan Bunce joining us here, the head coach of the Regina Riot. So what's the team been like this year? You guys are heading into a semifinal matchup with Edmonton. What's the Edmonton team like?
Edmonton teams, they've got a veteran squad. From what I can see, they're a little lean on some players, but they definitely dominated in their division this year. So it should be a good battle. We've had good success against them in the past, and we're looking to kind of continue that trend.
Morgan, what's the strength of your team?
One of the strengths of our team is definitely our defense. We've got a good veteran group there. We've got some great leaders on that side of the ball. So one of our strengths is definitely our defense. And you can't discount our quarterback. She's one of the great arms in the WWCFL.
Can you give us a shout-out? Who is the quarterback?
Amy Kowalski.
All right, Amy Kowalski. She's a regular name there, isn't she? She's been around for a bit.
Yeah, I think she's been with the team since it started, and so that's coming up on 8 or 9 years.
So how would Morgan Bunce describe himself as a coach?
How would I describe myself, or how would the players describe me?
Well, okay, how would the players describe you?
They'd say I'm pretty tactful and a very logical approach to things. I'm pretty even keel. I've made reference to myself as Iceman from Top Gun. I don't get too high, too low. I'm just very tactical and methodical about how I approach things.
Was that Val Kilmer's character? Or was
that absolutely.
Val Kilmer, okay. Do you like cheeseburgers as much as him?
Who doesn't like a good cheeseburger?
Unreal. So how would you describe yourself?
Well, how they see me and how I am is pretty much spot on. I definitely take a calculated approach to things, and I definitely try and look at different angles and not get too emotional about any in particular events. So I'm pretty calculated.
I see us, I see football in two avenues we can grow the game: female and immigrants, new people to our country that didn't grow up on football. It was either cricket or maybe it was soccer or something like that. Rugby, they never grew up on our game of football. So I see those two aspects where we can grow the game. How's the health of female football right now, do you think?
I think it's definitely growing, and there's lots of indicators for that. I would say female football is probably where female hockey was maybe 10, 15 years ago. Just big things that are happening in the city, right? RMF and up in Saskatoon, SMF, they've got young developmental programs where they've got all-female football teams. I know Football Sask has a fantastic female flag football league. So there's actually a lot more females playing a football-related aspect than the population knows about.
That's Morgan Bunce, the head coach of the Regina Riot. They'll be playing Edmonton this weekend in a semifinal matchup. Good luck, and we'll be watching.
Great. Thank you very much.
That was another installment of Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a story idea you'd like Michael Ball to pursue, please email him at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.